This is the Jabberjaw Podcast Network. Visit jabberjawmedia.com for more shows like this one.
You are now entering the Bad Christian Podcast.
All right, what's up, my favorite buttholes in the entire world, the Bad Christian Podcast listeners. My name's Matt. Thank you for joining the show. Thanks for tuning in again. Today we got an episode, a good one, and Tim from House of Heroes is going to join us for a few minutes. We're going to listen to another song of theirs. Joey has to dip out for the interview. He's not here today because, again, he's on his sabbatical and is wreaking havoc on our podcast and our format and our schedule and everything. But I'm glad he's resting. So, Joey, if you're out there listening to these intros, to the work we're doing, to the stuff we're trying to accomplish in your absence, we're failing, Joey. We need you. We want you to come back. We want you to be in our state. We want you to be in town with Toby. Hear my plea. You won't answer my calls, and that when I send you an email, I get an auto response, and it's been honestly really difficult, and I know we give you a hard time, and I know we make fun of you a lot, but Joey, I need you back. We need you more involved in this show and in my life personally. I've taken you for granted, and I apologize. You are a good friend and a good person. And you know who else is a good person? Me. And I'll tell you why. Because I had the idea that we should take the Emory Acoustic shows that we're doing with Devin and not just make them for the 100 people in the very few cities that we can go to, but make it for everybody. So here's what we're doing. We're going to live stream our Seattle Emory Acoustic show with Devin on the internet. We're going to put it online, and it's going to be free. I'm not going to charge. Thought about charging for tickets, but we're not going to do that. We're going to make it free for everybody. But I tell you what, we're going to accept tips, and that is because we're going to get $3,000-$5,000 worth of video equipment. We're working on video. You may have seen us doing live videos on the internet right now. We're borrowing cameras, playing around with gear, trying to figure out how to do that. There's a bunch of stuff we want to do and bring to you directly because, frankly, the technology's there, and we're the people that, you know, innovate and come up with new stuff and good ways to do stuff that don't involve the man and buttloads of money. So we're going to stream in high quality, in high def, our Emory Acoustic show on April the 30th in Seattle. So that'll be, you know, late night, East Coast, 7, 8 o'clock on West Coast. So go to emoryacoustic.com/register. Do it right now and you'll be set up. We're going to do the show live for free for everybody on the globe. If Emory plays acoustic with Devin, essentially, it's a global event. You don't want to miss it. emoryacoustic.com/register. Don't miss it. We'll all be there. Maybe throw us a tip if you want to. It's going to be a big deal. April 30th, Saturday night. All right, episode. Let's do it.
3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 House.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Joey. Jesus is king.
I'm so glad I got that on video. I just now got turned the camera on a whim. I'm playing with a setup here for the, you know, BCTV, that is. And so I've got you guys on the screen. The camera's getting it, and I had to really be aware of how I look. And you didn't. You just looked like fools there. And it's even worse is I'm in this shared workspace. So this is the first time I've done this podcast in this space. And so I realize I've been doing Break It Down here. But on that show, I just sit there and I talk to people. And say, well, what drum mic did you use when you recorded that? Oh, really? Well, tell me more about that. And on this show, I had to be animated. I have to yell. I have to say the cuss words. I say the F word. And I'm loud. I'm talking about pastors and people cheating on people. And then I know there's people that I don't think you can see anybody at the moment, but there's people that are working like on other sides of the glass and everything here. And just so you guys know, people can see you right now.
Damn it.
What's up?
This is all part of, by the way, big props to the BC Club. Thank you guys for being in it. It's helping do stuff like pay for the camera and the streaming and the Blackmagic converter and this monitor and to go to help Reva, who's my assistant, who's working on the camera stuff right now. So stuff is happening. It's slow going, but we're learning a lot of stuff about, you know, audio visual. I feel like I'm in the sixth grade in audio visual club trying to do the news.
I worked all day yesterday getting my light set up.
Yeah, so and this it looks good. This is,
yeah, I know. I worked really hard. I literally all day in my garage. It's really funny. Like, the stuff that we do is just hilarious. Like, I'm recording a podcast. I'm doing all these lights and set up. We take a break. I had to go in and fix my refrigerator. Our refrigerator broke. So I just went in and literally took 10 minutes and fixed our refrigerator. So now I'm back here recording this podcast. It's crazy, man.
Hey, you guys would be very proud of me. I fixed our washing machine. Did I tell y'all that?
No.
Like, it actually broke. No. Yeah, it was our washing machine, and the water was not draining. And I was just like, I got to figure something out. So I YouTubed it, and awesome. It told me about different parts and things that could happen. And sure enough, I had to unscrew some stuff, take some stuff out. Right. And it was clogged by my son's stupid acorns and coins and toys. It was just clogged. But I really felt a sense of accomplishment.
Yeah, it makes you feel so good when you fix something.
Absolutely. And that's one of my main things that I like to do in the world is problem solve. But it brings up a good point. And please, I am going to use the word depression in the next 30 seconds. Shit. Please don't let it turn into any kind of argument. Please don't be insulted at all. But I would share with you something I heard about depression or read in a study. I can't remember what it was. Can't reference it exactly.
Matt, before you do that, can I not make you feel bad because you're the master of recording and stuff like that? Is your mic actually on? It sounds like you are. Did you change the room or something?
You
your mic
what?
Sounds way different.
I'm recording my mic, so everybody at home will be. I'll fix this as I go just to keep it real. The people at home are hearing my voice normal, but you're hearing me through the internal mic of my computer. Is that what is going on?
That is exactly right. So I just wanted to make sure you were recording
because
I too am now a master of recording.
Yeah, you are. And of lighting, the visuals and everything.
Lighting, anything you need. I do weddings. I'd love to, you know, I'm a pastor now. If you need, I kind of full service at weddings. I can marry you. I can sing. I can be the band. I can do the lighting. I can do the video. If you need somebody to do a wedding, now I'm expensive. This something this awesome doesn't come cheap,
all right,
but it's
back?
Worth it. Oh, my God.
Oh,
yeah. Thank
so
you,
good.
Sir. Thank you, sir, for fixing that.
So here's what I heard about depression is that there's some study that linked people to depression that are not as good at problem solving. And that doesn't mean dumb, or I'm not insulting you. Don't take it that way, Joey. However, I would note possibly that thing where you say either I can do it, I know how to do computers, or I don't. I know how to record, or I don't. I know how to do those things. They say people that figure stuff out and do intensive problem solving, the opposite of that is it can be linked to depression. Does that strike anything with Toby or you? You know, like, you know how Joey
maybe
isn't interested in figuring out how the sheetrock works or the microphone, stuff like that, or troubleshooting. It's just, I don't know how to do that. I'll have somebody else do it. And I don't know what it was about that, but I thought that was kind of interesting. So, and the only reason I thought of it is because you said when you figured out how that dryer worked, it was satisfying and it felt good.
Right.
And that's brain chemical, that part of it. So something
it is
there.
True.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't want to get into it. I just popped in my head.
Gotcha. Cool. Well, I won't respond to it then.
Feel free to respond as long as it won't be defensive or an argument.
No, it wasn't defensive. Okay. But it may be a little longer because I'm really thinking about it.
Yeah,
I think that I problem solve things that I don't think would take a super long time, such as people stuff. But here's the problem with me problem solving with mechanical stuff. And I actually explained this to my sister-in-law and wife when I was bragging about fixing the washing machine because I was so proud of myself, is at some, like, that it was late at night and I figured, well, if I look at a YouTube video and it looks like it's going to take me hours and stuff, that means it's going to take me even longer than that. I'm not going to mess with it. But I was like, I think it may be a simple fix.
Yeah.
So then I was like, I can't go to sleep. I got to just figure this out. That's a different situation than something that would require hours and hours and hours. And here's the thing is, for a simple project that you have to have some skills to do, that's going to take me a really long time. So at some point, I have to decide, okay, do I want to spend hours trying to fix something that someone else could fix for 1 hour, who's a friend,
right,
and I can just say, hey, can you come fix this, man? We're buddies. Or is it worth $100 for me to hire
someone?
No, for sure.
I understand that. But I would just...
Because time's valuable.
No, I agree it is. But I would point out that for me, for instance, I usually, and I give other people this advice, if you do something that you're not good at, it will be inefficient. Yes. But sometimes you like the skill that you learn and the closer you are to be able to do it is going to continue to help you down the road. So I set up video today, for instance. I said, well, I wasn't even planning on using it or anything. I don't even know if this is actually going up anywhere, but I had Reva do it and me do it real quick because I go, well, it's just one more practice and it's probably going to be fruitless and unused or wrong, but it's just one more struggle through problem solving and troubleshooting. And eventually that really does pay off. So I think it's valuable to lean into stuff that you're not good at, even though the efficiency of that one event will not pay off. But
let me give you an example.
Does in the long run.
Let me give you an example, because I was going to mention something like this to try to make myself sound really good earlier on, but then you keep bringing Reva up. I don't know if you recall this, but when Reva emailed and she basically presented herself really well, Matt, at that time you were completely overwhelmed because you had so many good ideas. You didn't know how to, you know, figure out what to spend your time doing this mm-hmm. and that. And there was so much. You were not willing to problem solve and figure out how to take this girl who mm-hmm. was skilled, who had education and wanted to figure out how to help us. You were almost just like, that's too right. much work right. to try to get her involved. Where yes. I, on the other hand, was like, no, we've got to sit here and figure it out. We were all right. in Charleston at that beach
yeah,
house.
I remember.
That's
right.
something that's easier for me. And I know sure. that if I take an hour to do this, it's going to be extremely productive.
Right.
Whereas 9 times out of 10, when it comes to fixing stuff, that hour
yeah,
is going to be a waste.
But what I'm saying is even that I've learned from, and I give that sure. spiel to people a lot now. For instance,
you're
go,
definitely
you know
a bigger
what?
Learner.
I tell people, somebody the other day, I think probably, I don't remember who it was. And I said, well, listen, you're going to have to train this person and probably they're going to turn out to be a dud. You're going to train them and they're probably just going to flake out anyway.
Yeah,
but you don't naturally, it was Bunda, because Bunda doesn't train or share really well. I said, you can develop this person and it will work or it won't work and they'll be a dud. Either way, you'll be one step closer to knowing how to train people and involve them and let go of the reins and do those things for next time,
right.
for instance. And that's what you were saying there, and you were right about that. Anyway, I just thought that was interesting that I would suggest go into more problem solving. It could be something good for you. Anyway, sorry if I've hijacked what we were trying to do. What were we trying to do
no,
today?
No, that's okay.
Anyway.
Well, Toby, you were talking about how you are doing weddings now.
I didn't
that
talk
was a
about
complete
how I deal with people and situations.
We know how.
Oh, you got your little puppy dog eyes and your puppy dog voice. Well, let's hear it, Toby.
You know how they clean tunnels?
Other than saying if Jesus is real.
They tie rope to Joey and drag him through it.
So the fat jokes is how you respond to this conversation?
I'm hurting inside, okay?
Okay. Where's the hurt come from?
Reva's there with you all the time now. Is she going to be like our female voice? Like we get to be like, you know.
I can get another mic on here. I mean, sometimes she is. But I'm trying
hoping.
To get some more help and trying to, you know, when you're doing video and lights, and I'd like to be doing streaming eventually and stuff like that. I don't know.
Well, it would just be nice to have another person there with you that you got into fights with and yelled at and really got, and it felt uncomfortable.
I don't think it would be nice, A, and two, it wouldn't do it.
No, you would.
I don't. Cool. The only person I fight with is you and Bridget. That's the only people I fight with.
And Bridget's luckily going to be our new co-host. Bridget Carter is going to come on now. She's not going to listen, but she's going to come on the podcast for sure.
So, yeah, the only person I ever fight with is you and Bridget. The only people that I ever get argument, like actually escalated argument.
It's interesting, too, that the only people you argue with probably you love most in the world.
Of course.
It's got to mean something.
Yeah,
I mean, I take it as a badge of honor. About how you love me.
It should. Feel free
to
take it.
You love
me
by arguing.
I agree.
At me. It hurts, but I go along with it.
That's not unreasonable. It's not unreasonable to say that.
I'm hurt. Matt doesn't love me.
No, y'all argue too. You and Joey argue a little bit.
No, we disagree, but that we don't have a functional method to argue back and forth. I mean, trust me, we don't see eye to eye on anything. It's just we don't have a functional method to go back and forth.
So Matt and I have a mouth. malfunctioning communication
right.
style.
Speaking of malfunctioning communication, I really enjoy not playing kids music for my kids. Like I try to play just whatever kinds of songs.
Oh, yeah.
They actually like AC/DC. They like, I played Ozzy the other day and they uh-huh. actually like Crazy Train. They thought that was kind of fun.
William likes like hardcore thrash screamo sort of stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
That's
crazy.
Cool. So I was listening the other day, one of my all time favorite bands, Presidents of the United States of America. They love mm-hmm. Peaches. You know, they yep. love that song. And I was like,
Lump Peaches.
Lump. We listened to that. And then we listened to, Kitty at My Foot. Is that what it's called? Kitty?
Kitty is the name of the song. Yeah, because
Kitty. So it's really awesome.
What could be better? The guy does kids' music anyway. Stuff's always been simple. And this song here is about a kitty cat.
Which my kids love cats. And it's so awesome because it's like, Kitty at My Foot and I want to touch it. And he goes, meow, 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 meow. And so I'm just listening to the song and I got up blaring, man. Just blaring. It was sunny outside. The windows were down. We pull up to the stoplight. And this is like on the way to pick up. I forget where we were headed. Anyway, so all three kids are in the car. It goes, Kitty at My Foot, and I want to touch it. And then the cat in the song, I totally forgot about this, scratches him, and he goes, fuck you, kitty, you're going to spend the night. Fuck you, kitty, you're going to spend the night. And my kids are just like going, that, and I was like, oh, crap.
And they were engaged in the song before that?
Yeah, I mean, they were just, they were totally present. Like, they were listening to every single word. They thought the song's so awesome.
It's fuck you, kitty, you're going to spend the night. Outside.
Yeah. And so I was like, dang it. I just totally blew it. Like, I mean, they just, and then I just turned it off. And they're like, what? We love that song. It's about kitties. Oh, it's awesome. So they didn't totally pick up that they picked up that he was mad that the cat scratched him. But now I'm like, that's in their vocabulary. And so, or at least in their brain somewhere.
They've never heard that word before?
I guess they have, probably from their own father. I'm
sure.
They
have to.
But I don't know. That one's a tough one. I know that I've said, like, damn it or shit when driving before. Like, somebody cut me off. We almost got in a wreck or something. And I apologize and say, what I've learned to say is, if I cuss on accident around them or something, I say, hey, listen, that is an adult word. If you say it, you'll get in trouble. And I don't want you to get in trouble. That is not something that you can say right now. Your teacher, it would hurt your teacher's feelings or your classmates' feelings. Those aren't words that we use. And daddy's trying not to use that too. Yeah. I probably overreacted or something. I try to use it as a lesson or a teaching lesson, but that totally caught me off guard.
Even still, though, that's crazy. Like, I've taken even a different approach than that. I had to admit, this might be wrong, but I'm gonna write it out for now. I feel like, Bridget said something the other day. I think Bridget said damn or something. And Georgia gets a look on her face and she say, Mommy, why you say damn it? And I was like, it was some word that I'd never heard Georgia say or know, or I don't think she knew at all, but she could tell, I think maybe by the word or the way it was said, that it was something enough for her to ask the question.
Right.
And so then Bridget's impulse is like, well, it's a bad word. I shouldn't have said it. Well, I just said no, just tell her what you said and why you said it, and just don't put any energy to it. Like, don't start acting like it's bad. That's all I want to communicate right now is, well, this happened in traffic and I was mad at that. And I said, damn, and just own it. Like, and then move on. Like, maybe don't even put a bunch of energy to it.
Yeah. Well, I think that's the way I want to be too. The problem is they'll use that word then.
See,
they'll get them in trouble.
Yeah. Well, then I like Toby's explanation for his, for sure. My kids are older. Like, my oldest is a good 3 years older than Toby's oldest. So what I've done
the older,
is
that's different,
I don't want to categorize them as adult words.
Right.
So what I say is, I just like, look, some of these words that you hear, like on this movie and stuff, you guys don't really have an understanding of when and when not to use those words. So I would just prefer you to avoid them until you're old enough.
Yeah, what I'm saying is don't call that word a bad word. Like, you did say it for a reason. And the President of the United States used it for a reason. It might be art, might be to be funny, but they did use it for a reason. It's not just that word is bad. So I try to avoid, even if we say it, going and identifying as the word is bad.
I'll actually say these are words that most people think are bad to say. Your dad does not think that.
I'm going the manipulative route. I'm trying to tell them, hey, you'll get in trouble if you use it. I don't care if you use it, but you will get in trouble if you use it, like, in school or at church or around adults that aren't me or something like that. So I don't know. We'll see. We all have our own parenting ways.
We do,
don't we?
Man. Mm-hmm. We do.
They can do whatever they want when they get married.
Yeah. Hey, you know, another thing we have in common is you guys got stiffed from a festival. I got stiffed doing a wedding.
You're kidding.
Do you get $5,000 to do weddings now?
No, actually. All right. So here.
Do you negotiate, like, have anything, like, beforehand? You don't ever say, hey, I'd like to get paid. You just expect.
All right. Well, there's two different kinds.
Because everybody, I'm not saying you expect it. You just, you know, usually most people have always given you something.
No, all right, there's two different kinds of weddings, and I've only done one of one kind, and there's a bad Christian wedding. I've done a bad Christian wedding. To me, that's...
Was it the best wedding you ever did?
I'm a complete freelance. Like, so there is a negotiation because Jeff and Mallory wanted me to, you know, actually come to the New England area, Philadelphia area, and all that stuff. And so I was not necessarily operating as a Seacoast pastor. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. Whereas if someone calls the church to get a Seacoast pastor, totally different thing. I'm operating from Seacoast rules and all that sort of deal. So I am actually really thinking, first of all, I'm not losing any sleep over this, but I told Priscilla, I said, I feel like this couple kind of did me wrong and my family wrong. And here's why. All right. So they call and they basically want me to do a wedding because they are from a different part of the state and they are traveling to Charleston. So they looked up Seacoast. Seacoast is a big church. Get in touch with me. I said, yeah, I'm probably not going to do it, man. I was just like, that's only 2 or 3 months out. And I usually need about 6 months of counseling. I just really take this serious, take an invested interest in the couples. I said, I just don't think it's going to work. Very quickly, I catch on this couple is actually in it, not just to check a box, but they are actually in it because they really feel like they need the counseling. They want to invest the time and everything. So right. I really thought about it and I was like, you know what? Okay, let's do this. It's going to be, you know, once a week, we're going to have to Skype in everything. I really felt like I bent over backwards. And so wedding goes super well. I think they were super sincere and genuine as far as saying, man, we just loved it. Couldn't have gone any better. You know, family members are coming up to me and all that sort of thing. All right. So before I do the premarital counseling, I walk them through everything. What Seacoast has is a suggested honorarium. Okay. So in the wedding booklet, there's a suggested honorarium of $200. It's not a fee. It's not something that we basically say you have to do. Suggested. And I told them all this stuff, and basically they're shaking their heads. Yes. Hey, everything sounds great. Well, I don't know what that means. Does it sound great that it's suggested? Does it sound great that $200 is easily affordable? So I don't know. I'm at a place now to where near the end of the reception, I'm starting to catch on. Yeah, these guys are not going to pay me. And so for me, it's like, okay, it went well. They said they appreciated it. Did they? Like, I mean, how appreciative are they if they're not willing to pay the pastor anything, or are they just completely oblivious? The reason why I feel a little bit done wrong is because people don't realize Priscilla and I have to plan our whole weekend around this. I mean, we've got soccer, gymnastics. We want to spend time as a family, but it's just like this weekend is a wedding weekend. So let's take an extreme case. Let's say 1 month, there's 4 different couples that want to get married and it's all during the weekend, you know, obviously all of them weekend. Do I just say, well, this is my job. This is what I have to do. Every single weekend is taken away from my family. No way. Right. You know what I'm saying? So it seems like I would be a fan. I totally get where Seacoast is coming from as far as having a suggested honorarium. And I'm almost like, man, that's cool that we're not after money. I would almost go as far as just make it a fee.
Right.
Just say, hey, this is how much we charge. If it's too expensive, we understand. But what do y'all think as far as a pastor? That's just part of their job. They counsel people in trouble. They need to do premarital counseling when people are going to get married and do the wedding.
Right. No, I am totally in agreement. I think there should be just, this is how much you make, like, honestly. Because, I mean, you really are doing some extra thing that you have to do. Like, you actually are having to set aside time to do this. You actually are having to prepare. A lot of times you have to go to the dinner the night before. You have to go through a rehearsal. And weddings take a while. I mean, not only are you one of the first people there, you might be one of the last people to leave. Or, you know what I mean? Like, all those things. So I think for sure, right from the get-go, pastor should say, hey, totally understand if this isn't your cup of tea or you guys are on a budget. In order for me and my family to be able to do this, to make time, I need to get this much money. I just think that would be better. When a suggested thing, now sometimes people probably go above and beyond the suggested, yeah, which is nice. Before. So that's really nice too, that you could get more like a tip or something.
Yeah, but do you think that maybe works out to your advantage? Because Chip, who does tattoos, when he comes on the road and does tattoos with us, I try to get him to say a price or whatever. And tattoo guys on the road, they always say, nope, I'm not going to charge you, just whatever. If you want to tip me, that's fine. It's kind of the thing. And upon some investigation with Chip, I think Chip, I'm not throwing him under the bus, but he said as ultimately, if you quote a price to somebody, you would give them a discount and then they would just take that discount. And if you don't quote them a price and just say, pay whatever you want, that yeah. usually winds up more. So maybe yeah. in general, pastors make out better doing that.
Yeah,
maybe
possibly.
Not, but
well, yeah, is this the only time you've ever been stiff?
Yeah, only time. I've done about 20, over 20 weddings.
Do they ever pay over the honorarium is my question.
They have very few times, but yes.
How long has it been?
A couple times. How long has what been?
Like, could the check be in the mail?
No, because obviously this is something that I communicated with my higher-ups to make sure I'm handling it the right way, and they gave me the green light to say, you can totally say, hey, you know there's a suggested honorarium, just asking, are you planning on paying that or something? Because what they want to do is they wanted to donate money to the church.
Yeah.
Which this is just between the three of us. but I think what that meant is $20. So yeah. here's how I feel. You guys know how I am with people. I genuinely cared about that couple.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So
not
I'm
anymore.
Counseling them. I'm
you
just
did, you cared.
Yeah. Just,
yeah.
Hope they get divorced.
Yeah.
Totally not. I still do. But so I'm just like, I really care. I'm really taking invested interest. And then it just seems like, oh, they didn't appreciate any of that.
Right.
So for me, it's, but I think they did, because when they genuinely say, yes, we appreciate
which
this
would you
great.
Rather have?
So I wonder, are they hard up for money? Do they think, nah, this is a principal thing. He's a pastor. This is what he does. We're not right. paying him money.
Well,
we're gonna
it's kind of like a gratuity. It's just like a gratuity. I mean, tables of five or more. If it takes you 8 hours or more of premarital on the day of, then you know, you could have it affixed there. That's what it feels like. They stiffed on a gratuity or a tip at least. But what would you rather have? The knowledge that they thought your wedding was awesome and you're the best and they literally don't have any more money and they're sorry? Or would you rather have $300 and they're like, yeah, it's kind of shitty, but you know, $300 is a good deal.
The former, if it was that sort of open communication,
yeah.
But I'll never know. You know yeah. what I'm saying? Like, I would much rather.
Well, how about
but
that? Here, what if they'd have said from the get-go, hey, listen, we don't have any money in our budget.
You
we
would
won't
have
be
said
able
no.
to pay you. Well, you'd have to say no,
you
right? Just time-wise
no.
and stuff?
Hmm. Yes.
Or,
yes I think so,
no.
given that they were strangers.
Yeah.
Right.
And unless I was really like, I should probably do this. But here's something interesting, though, is I just talked to a couple at our church. They are not rolling in the dough at all. They want to get married. And they were just like, $200,
that's
oh,
nothing.
Gosh. We thought we may not be able to get married at Seacoast because it was going to be so expensive. So to
yeah.
them, it was just like, that's not expensive.
I really
at
think
all.
You should
yeah,
charge $1,000 at least or $2,000. I think you should just like to take $1,000 or $2,000 or decline to do it. And I don't think that's wrong. That's really what I think it would be worth to me. I really believe that. I don't think it's being
well,
jerky,
that's the,
but I really think that's the approach
yeah,
you should take.
That's the approach that I have to take when people email me from Bad Christians. I say, look, I would love to do this, but you have to understand this is in addition to Bad Christian stuff like podcasting and all the mm-hmm. stuff that goes into that. And most importantly, this is on top of family stuff
right.
and Seacoast stuff. So
yeah,
I can't just do this for hardly anything.
So,
it's got to be
so
well
you can use this as
time.
Advertising. I mean, if it's somebody that's just local or something, I understand that. But really, I mean, you should do weddings for a grand, right?
Right.
I'd say 500. Now, depending on that's local. Like if you have to travel, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I think $500 for your time, it takes up about 2 days of your time. That's not that much money. I guess you're right. Like in a sense, like all the other things that you need to be doing to put that on hold.
Mm-hmm.
That
it's
is
a whole weekend
crazy.
Out of my family.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
Then you think
away
about the fact
family.
That we want to do weekends away for Bad
right.
Christian stuff.
Right.
So yeah.
I mean, there's a real cost to it.
I forgot how much I charged Mallory and Jeff, but it was, I want to say it was over 500. But
it should
I don't
be.
Remember.
Yeah. Well, I'm not really sure. We do all kinds of stuff. Like the other day, it's funny. Like, I think that when people are getting married, all they're thinking about is their day, and that's all that matters, and they'll do anything, all time stops and all that stuff, and they're not thinking on the outside. They probably are just thinking, oh, that's a pastor. He probably wants to do it. That's part
right.
of his job.
Right, totally.
You know?
Yeah.
But maybe you should, you thinking about sending them, shooting them, you don't know them, shooting them
yeah,
an
why,
email.
What do you got to look? Oh, you know what? Do the passive-aggressive thing. You just say, hey, look, totally cool. I just... Act like all you care about is that you're doing a good job and you want to know if there's anything you could have done better. Say, I noticed that you didn't give me any money, and that's totally cool. I was just curious, is there a reason that you didn't so that I can know for next time?
I think at this point it's been communicated enough to where anything in addition to that, it's almost just like weird and, oh, wow, this dude's not going to leave us alone.
Then send him an email and say, I will not do y'all's next wedding after y'all get divorced. Pastor Jay.
Well, here's something interesting, though. This is going to be a riot if they run into this podcast. Here's what's interesting is at the actual reception, and here's the thing. Nobody at our church even knows this couple, so I'm pretty safe other than this couple running it. At the reception, she even said, hey, this is, and she said it in a joking way, but the point was serious. She said, this is kind of like a lifetime warranty, right? Like we can come to you anytime we want to. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, sure. And this is also before I even knew whether or not they were going to pay.
Right.
It would actually be kind of, and I know it makes it sound like all I care about is the money, but it would make me feel a little weird if they just call and say, hey, we're going through some really, really hard times and everything. It almost be like to be completely genuine
sure.
and for the counseling session to be completely real, I would have to say, okay, hey, I would love to be there for you. I'm curious. anything happen at the wedding? Because you know what I'm saying? But
yeah, absolutely.
I don't know if
yeah.
I would do that. I don't know if I would. So it's weird.
No, what you do is you just go, hey, I cannot wait to counsel you guys. It'll be $500 a session.
Yeah, 500 an hour, baby.
Yeah. When can I schedule you? And that's what I would. That's all I would say.
500. I'm not going to charge someone 500 for counseling.
Well, you're a chump then.
Yeah, you got used. All right, let's take a break. Let's bring on our guests, guys.
All right, we'll be right back.
All right, Toby, I got us an ad today to read, and it's another great one from Tooth and Nail. And that's
Hell
not
yeah.
an ad I'm going to read. It's a band I'm going to talk about, but they sent it to me in email, so that's why I say read, because they send me the info and the track here. But really what I'm going to do now is talk about a band called Silent Planet. Are you familiar?
I heard about these boys. Oh, yeah, we talked about them before.
Yeah.
They heavy.
I mean, they keep showing up everywhere. I keep seeing their name and still running advertisements for it. So we all know that's a good sign of a band
Heck
blowing
yeah.
up.
Yeah, I know. I mean, we used to be like that.
Yeah, we used to be that way.
We were the first Silent Planet. They owe us everything.
Well, they're going to be on the Warped Tour this summer, which is super good. Ooh. So that's pretty much just yet another thing that locks a band into the zeitgeist to where everybody knows who they are. I saw them at Warped 2016 is what people will be telling them for the next 10 years.
Yeah, for sure. And it's not easy to get on Warped. So, I mean, I think you're right. They're mm-hmm. really starting to kill it. This is cool.
Well, they've got a new album, so that might be part of all this. But so be on the lookout for news coming very soon on it. Their current album is out right now. It's called The Night God Slept, and it's on iTunes, and it's on Spotify. If you haven't listened to them, go check it out. But right now, I'm going to play a song called Native Blood. All right, again, this Silent Planet, you're listening to a song called Native Blood. So what we want you to do is check them out on the Warped Tour and go over to the band's Facebook page or their Band Is In Town page and find the tour dates. Find out everything that you want to know about this band. All right.
This summer, there is one Christian music festival that will rise above them all in a small town in Illinois. Audio Feed Festival will feature Bad Christian Day. There's going to be a Bad Christian Day at Audio Feed Festival is what I'm trying to say. The festival is June 30th through July 3rd. Bad Christian Day is July 2nd. There's going to be four stages, over 100 bands, camping, movies, speakers. And on Bad Christian Day itself, Emery's going to play with Devin. Matt and Toby and Devin are going to play acoustic. And the Bad Christian Podcast is going to be taping an episode live. It's an event that we really truly hope everybody comes to. You can get your tickets now at badchristianday.com. See all the bands, see everything else that's going on. We're going to make sure to meet everybody. It's going to be in Urbana, Illinois. A lot of our friends are going to be there. Propaganda will be there. Preston Sprinkle will be there. I really do think it's going to be a good festival, and we hope to see all of you there. Again, go to badchristianday.com. Get your tickets today, and please buy it through our link, badchristianday.com.
Well, Tim, thank you for joining us here. We were doing this thing over Blab, and we just had a pretty, what I would consider a terrifying moment. And it looks like we got away with one, but I'm going to go ahead and out us anyway. Toby and I were discussing this interview and you and the band just before you joined the call, not realizing that on this technology, you can sit there and watch us without joining yet, but you yet can still see what it is that we're talking about at the time. So I'm going to holler out Toby specifically. He wasn't too worried about it.
Great.
But I just asked him, I was like, now, Toby, you are aware of of Tim and House of Heroes and familiar with the record and their band and stuff like that, right? And he said, no, not at all. And so I was thinking how rude it must have looked to you sitting there watching us saying that. I'm glad to hear you missed it, but nonetheless.
Oh, I'm kind of bummed I missed that.
No, wait. Man, so, House of Heroes is an alternative rock band from Columbus, Ohio.
Tell me more, Toby.
They have actually released, I know this for a fact, 5 albums. And the band also released the album 10 Months in 2001. I know a lot.
You know it all.
Yeah, well, it's a funny thing being, you know, doing BC Music because it's a super bizarre outfit where Toby and Joey and I have this thing, and it's a label, but we also do this podcast and stuff like that. And so, yeah, the truth of the matter is Toby and Joey aren't necessarily very day-to-day on kind of the stuff we're doing. I do always send them the records, and they're usually into it. We make all the decisions and big stuff, you know, together and stuff like that. But sometimes that's the way it happens. We're not like, you know, full-time record VPs. We've got a weird organic kind of a business model going on. And that's what I like about bands like you guys. It's totally flexible. You do your own thing. You guys already had crowdfunded your album before you came to us, which is just beautiful. It's just beautiful. And then you still want some more help. And like I'm saying, I cannot even come close to doing the amount of things that we do by myself or by ourselves. So we started DIY, and then that kind of scaled up. And so now we have some other people, Reva and Matt McDonald and Daniel Dopp, and a bunch of other people just help with music alone. So to tell you the truth, sometimes I'm out of touch too, even with what's going on or release date, you know.
It's awesome. Yeah, I love what you guys are doing. Well, and to be honest, we met once.
Mm-hmm.
We played a festival together in Western South Dakota, I want to say.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And you guys had, I think Jake Ryan was filling in on drums.
Yes.
And the first song was good, and then the rest was it was a little rough.
So have you seen Emery other than that time?
Yes, yeah. I saw you on Warped Tour a few times, and it was really good.
Okay, so we are a good band, just not when Jake Ryan plays drums.
Funny is I was the nice guy afterwards. I was like, hey, guys, great set. And one of you guys just looked at me like, no.
Do you remember that one, Toby, that set specifically?
Yes, I 100% remember that. We've talked about that set for the last several years, for sure, because when you add a new drummer, no matter what, things can get really wonky. Like, it's really been funny. Like, we've had several different players fill in for, like, a missing member for a show or a festival or something like that, and it always ends bad for us. Like, I don't know. There's been tons of times where it did not work out. I remember Grant from Under Oath played bass for us on a short tour. And it didn't go well. Like, our band didn't sound good. Like,
but you can't put the blame on them for that.
No, I can. They're paid musicians. I mean, we paid them to be in the band and do a good job. Here's what I really believe, and this is really true. I don't know how many times I've said this, so this might be the first time people are hearing this. I actually, and we're going to just talk about our band. Yeah, House Heroes, whatever. We're going to talk about Emery right now. Just kidding. But I do think that a lot of people think of Emery as Broken Heart Lyrics and emo, you know, just that emo stuff lumped in there. I actually think when people try to play our music, it's a lot harder, and they realize how, like, technical it actually is.
They underestimate the music.
Yes, for sure. And I understand why, but I think once they start playing our music, oh, whoa, that was a little bit more than I thought. Because, I mean, like, for example, Dave, our drummer, is really good. I mean, Matt, really good. All the bass players we've had, really good. So I think it just catches people off guard. But anyway, enough about us. I'm sorry I'm talking about us. So.
No problem.
I did want to ask you a question, Tim, though. Like, I was just reading off your Wikipedia page, but do you guys care about that stuff? Like, do you keep up with your Wikipedia page or think it's weird if somebody writes something crazy or goofball or anything like that? Does any kind of media stuff like that bother you guys?
It used to. I think we used to get on... Because at one point, we didn't want to be labeled as a Christian band, and so somebody just kept putting Christian band on there, you know? And so we kept taking it off, and within 5 minutes, it was back up. But we just kind of let that one go. We said, well, if that's the way you want it, then, you know, I'm not going to fight. That's not a hill I'm going to die on.
Well, you know, that's an interesting thing is, and I told Toby and them this last week, I don't know if it's on this podcast or one that aired before, I'm lost on that, but I did share that email that you sent that y'all sent with the fan who said that they were no longer going to be able to support you due to association with people like us. It was the long and short of it.
Yeah, pretty much. And I just said, look, I'm not going to ask you to violate your conscience, even if it means you listen to our band, you know.
But that would mean that it violates their – is that? Let's just get this straight. It would violate their conscience to pay money or listen to or stream your music now because some of the money or profit or something could wind up in the hands of – you know, me and Toby. Was that their message? Was that their point?
I think so. I think that was the vibe that I got. The funniest part about it was that he said, I'm not trying to make a fuss, but here's my fuss.
A fuss is the definite. I guess he meant that in the sense that it was it a private message at least?
Yes, it was. Okay, well, yeah,
that's what he meant by not making a fuss. But
that's right. Yeah.
But I think it's a funny thing because what else? Okay, I mean, I'll concede the point that we're bad and wrong and immoral and all that. Okay, fine. I'll go ahead and give you that. And we don't deserve any money, and it's going to bad use. However, it's not as if, even if I concede that, it's not as if there's some other label or organization or company that helps bands that is any different. Like, as far, you know what I mean? Right. Like, no matter what,
right.
If you're on Arista Records or, you know, EMI, they're just giant companies anyway that...
Yeah, totally.
They don't have a particular morality, but that doesn't mean... I mean, there's people at EMI that money, when you buy a record of a band on EMI, Christian or whatever, that some of that money technically goes to support some individuals that you wouldn't like.
Yeah, exactly. It probably goes to support a cocaine habit or something
that. Somewhere. I mean, you can't be that way, I don't think. I mean, I understand the point of it, but it's only because people, it's only because of having a voice and saying stuff and making some noise that we do that they have the ability to even make that case, but I thought it was funny or interesting. I wonder, do you get that more, or is that an isolated message?
That was fairly isolated. I kind of expected a little bit more just because some of the bigger Christian tours that we did with Toby Mac and whatnot, like people were really up in arms about certain things that they would find in our lyrics or whatever. And so I just assumed that would come along, but it's only been that isolated incident. Do you That's guys good. Get it a lot?
Well, not really anymore. I mean, because that person probably listened to episode 2, 3, and 4 of the podcast and sent us that same message or tried to reason with us or talk us down from our dangerous points of view or stances at some point, I'm assuming. And then they said, okay, and by episode 7, they didn't listen to the podcast anymore, and now we don't hear from that guy nor the group that he represents. So honestly, it feels good out here where we are to have cleared out some elbow room where we have a little room to work is the way it feels to me. Now,
so it's really funny.
I would say that for everybody. I'd encourage everybody to realize that you can clear out your own space, and you have to do it by being you and saying what you think and being okay with it. But then, if you do that, you won't be, bound by expectations of other people. That's not a good way to be, in my opinion. I mean, it would be possible also, to make that guy happy, but at what expense?
Don't you think we're teaching people at least actually what to stand for? Like, I don't think that guy. Like, he's trying to do the right thing for him. So I'm okay with that and applaud that even. Like, I mean, I don't care. If somebody doesn't want to give money to something we're doing because they think we're wrong, okay. I might disagree, but I'm at least glad we live in a country where we can do that and that we have liberty and freedoms and stuff like that. But, like, I don't think people understand what to stand against these days. Like seriously, that guy's going to say, hey, I'm not going to support you because you're associated with this bad Christian thing that I think is against Jesus and against all the stuff. But he's probably going to go to Walmart a little bit later and buy super cheap stuff that, you know, 7-year-old Asian kids made. You know what I mean? Like, seriously, not being dumb, but I mean, like, he doesn't even know what to stand against. So he takes the thing that's the easiest, the lowest bar. Oh, they said a cuss word. They must be evil. Stay away from them. But not spend time thinking about the things that actually could matter and could be really bad. So I think maybe to an extent, at least hopefully we're teaching people a little something about, wait a minute, does that really matter? I mean, if you're associated with this thing, what does that actually mean about you? Because the truth is, I mean, working with Bad Christian and BC Music and stuff like that didn't lower your faith in God or Jesus or anything like that. It didn't have anything to do with that. It was about you. I mean, we didn't force you guys to join with BC Music. There was no like twisting your arm or saying we're going to screw you or we got, you know, photos of you cheating on your spouse or something like that. Like it literally was just, hey, this could work out. We think it can be mutually beneficial. And you guys thought, yeah, it could be. So that's why I think maybe hopefully in all this, somebody goes, wait a minute, at the very least, this is about putting out great music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly right. The podcast is one thing. The music division is another thing. And yeah, I hope that's the case. And I hope that people look in the mirror because of it and maybe say, okay, well, maybe they do consider these things, you know, like it's a 7-year-old making the things I'm buying at Walmart, you know.
Sure,
like,
yeah.
I think it's worth it, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, I'm glad to make people think. I don't care what they wind up deciding. That's
yeah, and
that's
I mean,
business.
With that being said, y'all's whole new album is about men being able to go into any bathroom in America that they want.
Right, it's
right?
about
and every
yeah,
song about
transgender.
That. And I applaud you.
Yeah, and it's a weird thing to do a concept album about transgender bathroom policy, but you guys
but
have pulled
I love
it off.
It works.
Yeah.
House of
it's
Heroes,
very,
it works.
It's very subversive, yeah.
Well, in seriousness, though, your album is a concept record, which is a feat in itself and something that I love and love about this album. Are you explaining that much yet? Are you kind of waiting on that? Because we kind of waited to explain when we made a concept record. But are you going into detail about that up front here before it comes out?
Yeah, I think we're going to slowly roll it out in kind of the public forum. But I love talking to fans. Like if I meet a fan at a show or something like that, I love explaining sort of what it's about.
Well, do you want to tell us a little about the concept here, or you don't have to?
Sure. Yeah. But. So it's kind of a linear story about three characters, and conceptually, the album is about the philosophical idea of free will or sort of determinism or fatalism or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so one of the characters, you know, he's just graduated high school and he goes off to chase his dreams and fails miserably, very quickly. And so he comes back to this small town where he grew up. And just feels defeated. And his best friend and cousin is this guy who's like, you can't do anything about it. All you can do is lie, cheat, and steal your way out of it. Everything is predetermined. This is your life. But his girlfriend, love interest, is kind of like, anything is possible. Whatever you dream, you can do. And so he's caught between these two ideals, and then it just kind of gets really messed up from there.
Crazy. So did you wrote out a plot before you wrote songs? Is that?
No. I mean, we sort of had an idea of what we wanted to do in a very, very general sense. And then we just started writing. We got together just, you know, like we did when we were 16, 17 years old in our buddy's mom's basement back in Ohio and just wrote parts. We were just like, let's write as many parts as we can. We probably wrote 50 or 60 parts. We picked the ones we liked the best to form into songs.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Doing a concept record is such a weird thing in that regard. But it seems like the whole thing's a fiction story, though.
Right. Yeah. It's fiction. It's sort of based on the idea of the main character going off like right after high school and chasing down this dream. Sort of fits with our story. We went. We signed a record deal right when we were done with high school to a really tiny independent label and just thought we had it made. And we went on tour for 2.5 months and ended up in Arizona with a broken van. And my dad had to fly out and rent a U-Haul because we weren't old enough to rent one. And so we came home about $10,000 in debt, just, you know, and we thought we had conquered the world. We signed a record deal. We're the biggest thing ever, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And yeah.
I think that's the way it is when you start young. But part of that is why you guys are still around. Like I was thinking about that today. I was listening to like Colin Cowherd and just talking about sports heroes. And like y'all hear about Kobe, like did 50 shots at his last game and made 60 mm-hmm. points. I'm kind of an NBA fan. There's something to be said for that. Like in retrospect, you go, man, what we were dumbasses. Like, man, we ended up in Arizona with a van that didn't work or whatever. Everybody can't do that. It sounds crazy, but it's not as easy to make that big of a mistake. Like you actually have to have a little bit of ego and belief and fire and work ethic and all that stuff to get there. Like to fail like that or to have something fail while you're trying something like that ends up actually, that's why you guys are still here and still making records and making great music and all that stuff. I think that's kind of neat. Like I think a lot of times people, oh, your ego, you know, like you guys think you hit the world, you know, you're right out of high school and you're on an indie label and now here you are thinking you're the greatest thing in the world. But that part of that also is hey, man, we're really working. We're doing this. We earned this. We're doing this. We're going to go to Arizona. We're going to go to California, New York, whatever it might be. And that kind of keeps you going. So part of that of the story is really cool. Like to get to say, yeah, we were in Arizona, maybe for the first time ever, and our band broke down. That actually means success more than failure, which is
to have
cool,
epic failures or super crazy stuff happen. You can get there just by being a real idiot or stupid. But
that's right. Yeah,
you can. Yeah. But for an intelligent person that's working hard toward a goal, it's usually a good sign that you have these big things that happen or devastation or failures. If you're, there's two varieties of it. You can just be stupid, but you guys aren't. You were working towards something. You had an idea in mind. You're moving forward, and then to face failures like that and go through them is great. I'm just looking at my notes here, but Reva wrote down for me that you guys have had 8 number one singles at Christian rock radio format. And I know it's an asterisk that it's Christian radio, but nonetheless.
Nonetheless, 8's a good number, right?
Yeah, it is.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
It's one better than 7.
So has that been a bummer to have stayed labeled as a Christian band, or for me even to bring it up that way and the asterisk beside the Christian number one?
You know, I think the other guys in the band certainly see it that way. And in a lot of ways you can look at it that way, but I kind of gave up on fighting that fight a long time ago and just kind of, if you see us as a Christian band, as the listener, that's fine.
Is everybody in the band Christian?
At this point, no.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll leave it there. I just think that's a fun question to ask. Because everybody, if you actually ever straight up ask somebody in almost any band, they'll give a hesitation answer. They'll go, and then they think about the best way to explain that.
Yeah,
no.
That's right. No.
Or depends on what you know. It's a fun question. Which is the question that I'm saying it in a facetious way, and I don't care, to tell you the truth. I really do not care, but I ask it just because I know that's what people are thinking when the topic comes up or whatever. So why not just ask it? And whatever. I don't think.
Yeah,
it's not everybody in Emory's not Christian, right?
Yeah, 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 exactly.
Everybody on this phone on this interview is not Christian.
Oh, dun 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 dun.
That's not true.
We actually, when we signed with Goatee Records in 2004, I think is when we signed, the idea was that we didn't want to be on a Christian label, but this was the best opportunity at the time. Yeah. So we actually within a year of being on the label, we went and showcased for Capitol Records out in LA and got upstream to Capitol, and then Capitol and Virgin merged and we got dropped from that. And then about 2 years later, we had another album and Science Records, which was Warner Brothers. Bless the Fall was on that label. They were going to pick it up, and that fell apart. So there were several times where, we thought that we were moving into this new realm, and it just never happened for us.
Yeah. But, well, you've been through a lot of realms, and just surviving and being around really does mean something. To the point where, again, you're able to crowdfund this whole record by yourself. The album is called Colors. There's a video up. We're thrilled to be a part of it, to tell you the truth. So I'm going to give people some more information about it. You can go to thehouseofheroes.com. That's correct, right?
That's right.
And the pre-order's up right now. And we love pre-order, and everybody should, because it's really the time period when a band can make money. Because once it comes out, eventually, it'll just be there for streaming, and you'll make your, quarter of a penny, half a penny, and that's good, and I don't fight that, but the time between and the crowdfunding money you spend to get everything going, I know particularly where your crowdfunding is and the budget and where all that money's gone, and it's gone. So now we're in the pre-order phase right now, which is the only time you actually own a product of value that you need people to participate in. This is one of the greatest times for so thank you to all the crowdfunding people, but anybody that's could come on now and pre-order the record, that really is the time for bands to make money. I don't know if people know or understand that, but it really is. And this record is good. It's called Colors. It'll be out on June. It'll be out in June or July. Do we have a release date yet? Do you know?
No, we don't. It keeps getting pushed back because of the vinyl.
Yeah, the vinyl. But it's going to have some awesome vinyl, and you can pre-order that now. And I'll tell you what else let's do. I'm sorry we're in a time crunch today, but let's listen to a song. Does that sound good to you guys?
Sounds good.
Hell yeah.
What was the name of the song you wanted to do, Tim?
Matador.
Matador. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
What number is that? I don't know them all by names, in fact.
I want to say this is track 9 or 10, and this is kind of where everything hits the fan, and there's a big confrontation on the record. So it's pretty angry song.
By it hitting the fan, Tim means shit, everybody.
Yeah, that's right.
It with a sh attached.
That's right. All right. Well, Tim, thank you for coming on the podcast today. I'm glad we could get this in, and we'd love to have you back and your non-Christian band members and all that stuff. Real soon.
Oh, yeah.
We're just happy to be in a little bit of a time crunch today, but we're glad to have you on. So here we go. This song is Matador, and we'll see you later, Tim.
All right, thanks.
Another killer Bad Christian interview.
Very good. Hey, I'm at stand-up desk. Can you see me? Am I in frame?
Yeah. No. Is it one of the desks that can raise?
No, it's
stuff?
Just tall. I was sitting at a tall stool, but it's tall enough where I can stand up if I want to. It's kind of good. I can pace in place.
So it's just a tall desk. It's not like really a cool stand-up desk. Like I was expecting that. I thought that would be really fun. Have y'all seen those? I would like to have one of those. They're coming up with all kinds of desk stuff now, like where you do exercises at your desk or sit on a ball. All kinds of crazy stuff.
Oh, yeah. I actually toured a school, and the whole classroom, the teacher is really big into physical movement as a part of their learning, and they're all sitting on huge balls.
They what?
They're sitting on huge balls.
You know, exercise balls. It's like one of those hippie things.
Right. Ball. I sit on huge balls every day.
Ball.
Myself, too.
I mean, balls can never go back from not meaning balls. Totally. Men's testicles, right?
That's
like
why.
Balls, no matter what. Balls, like the other day, I literally was thinking, I know like AC/DC or whatever, like, but big balls or whatever. Somebody was talking about a ball they went to and all the balls they went on. I just kind of giggled to myself. Right. I was like,
you're just thinking
it.
Nutsack constantly.
Yeah,
yeah.
Totally.
Nuts haven't
big,
reached
hairy
that.
Balls.
Nuts haven't reached the status of balls. Like, if you just say balls, you think testicles. If you say nuts, you think the food. At least me.
That's
true. I don't think nuts have reached that status, but there's definitely been times I've heard nuts and I've kind of been like, he said nuts.
Yeah, you're right. Balls definitely is used way more for. Okay.
Yeah.
Hey guys, this is really interesting.
Can I see your balls? The like in the toy box over there. Can I go through them? I want to look at their. Can I look at your balls? Are you about to do the damn news?
This comes from roving. Oh yeah, I've already started. I didn't even do my intro. I was thinking about balls and trying to move on. All right, Matt, kick the music.
Yeah, kick the music. Big balls, man. Shit, rolling up with big balls. Hey, when your friend has little balls and you have big balls and you actually have to listen to the bullshit damn truth every single episode, what do? Show them your balls. Hey, this is Joey and I'm co-hosting.
No, you're
today.
Not co-hosting. I'm going to do an impression. Diddy.
Diddy.
I know I showed you my dong, but I don't think you saw my balls. So these are these, Dad, I need to. Did Virgil, when he sees your groin, when you show him your Johnson and stuff, does he talk like the Godfather? It's kind of interesting. All right, this comes from roving reporter Caleb Hennington.
I love that boy.
This comes from WKAIT8 News. Witnesses say man killed by runaway trailer while watching porn. This is in Memphis. A freak accident that killed a man walking down the sidewalk just got a bit stranger. Witnesses said the man, who police identified as a violent sex offender, was watching porn on his phone as he walked down the sidewalk on Park Avenue, and that's when he was hit by a runaway trailer and killed. I think it's ironic that he's watching porn, and this dealt with some of the crimes he may have perpetrated, said dentist Dr. Peter Trimble. Dr. Trimble's office is near the spot where Kevin Jordan was hit and killed by a runaway trailer. Witnesses said police told them victim Kevin Jordan was looking at porn on his phone when he was hit. Jordan, who lives just a few houses down from where he was killed, is listed in court records as a violent sex offender involving aggravated rape. He had his life in order, said Jordan's fiance, Connie Harris, who added that he turned his life around since he was convicted of several rapes in 1990s, but court records show he was arrested for indecent exposure just last year.
Mm-hmm. Hilarious.
I'm laughing at Toby laughing, and I'm watching Matt smile.
I'm not laughing at all.
I can't believe y'all's facial reactions.
When you're on your sabbatical, you
get
wild.
What's funny about that?
Your sabbatical gets, you got wild.
What's so funny? I don't find anything about it funny.
I got a question about this story. This brings up a more important question. Do you want to finish your story or do you want to get into the important stuff?
Do y'all think this is like God smote this dude?
No, but I have a question.
You don't believe that God and you sent his angels to kill this evil person?
I don't.
Matt, you don't think that?
I don't think that.
It's just a coincidence. Y'all just think it's a coincidence.
Toby, if I got in a car wreck and the police officer, let's say he's a good friend of ours at church.
Right.
All right. Let's say the police officer comes to you and says, hey, Toby, man, I'm so sorry about your friend. And you know, you're asking questions. You're like, hey, have y'all figured out how it happened, all that stuff? And he took you off to the side and he said, hey, really bad news. This is kind of a shitty situation. You're like, what? And he's just like, I mean, he was obviously looking at porn on his phone. Like, we thought maybe he was texting and driving. He was looking at porn on his phone. That's probably what caused the accident. Do you think you would take that to your grave? Do you think that's something that Priscilla needs to know? Like, how do you handle that information? Like, do you tell anybody? You obviously, you just keep that to yourself.
There is no reason for Priscilla to know that you were sinning as you died.
Would you tell your wife, though?
What if it, I mean, take it a step further. What if you're actually in a car with a woman you were cheating with or something?
Well, I think that would just be obvious.
Yeah, I guess you're right. why are you with that woman? That's true.
Well, we saw this girl running in the woods, but well, okay, we don't think there's
you're
a
in
problem.
A car, and I see a case full of money that I know is not yours, and it burns up in the car crash. Do I tell Priscilla? Well, I want to get
and
away
there's from, a gun. And there's a gun.
It sucks because all of our sins always are sex. Like, there's just no chance we would actually do something else. Right? Like, it has to be. I mean, nobody would believe anything else.
I mean, you've got a minority of people that screw around with drugs,
Priscilla,
but who are they?
There were three dead bodies in the trunk. No, I don't believe that. That's he was looking at porn. Meth. Oh, I know it. Oh, it was I meth. Know he's looking at porn. I knew he had to be looking at porn. That's crazy. One thing that was interesting was it said that he had just had his fiance said he didn't expose himself. That wasn't right. He actually just had a kidney transplant and he was on dialysis and he was just urinating outside. So guy was actually a sweetheart.
You know, it's I one mean, of my life goals to get a ticket for public urination. That's a goal of mine.
Really?
Yeah, it is.
Dude, I can help you. Shit, I'll hold your dong for you.
This relates here because he has a background. He has aggravated rape in his history. And then he got a indecent exposure, and she's just saying he was peeing, and that might be true, but most likely it's not. And even if so, with that background history, that makes kind of sense. But I don't believe, and people say that, oh, don't Matt, don't pee on the side of the road when we're on tour. Don't pee in the behind the bus. What if a cop sees
Matt,
you?
Who's telling you that? Oh, you mean when you actually are doing it?
Yeah, when I'm peeing outside, which I love to do, and it's one of the greatest things in the world. And on tour, it happens all the time. We pee in bottles. We pee on the side of the road. All the time. Just the other day, we were in California, and I was peeing on the side of the road, and Toby took off. I'm on the side of the road just peeing in front of this whole giant highway. But I didn't care. I didn't even freak out about it because I don't have any belief that I would get in real trouble or you would be registered as a sex offender with no record when it's clear you're pissing. Clear. And I've done it so many times that if I wind up getting, here's the way I do. I average. I say, if I get a ticket, which I believe would be a $150 ticket, I really don't think you'd get in trouble for it. But let's just say a cop came, gave me a $150 ticket, misdemeanor for pissing. Then I would cost average that and say, I've done this 1,500 times. This is like a 10 cent.
That's true.
Average. It's cost me a penny per time, you know, if I've done it enough times. And I'd welcome the ticket. I would welcome it because I'd say overall it was still worth it because how many times I got to pee freely and I only had to pay that amount of money for all the times when you cost average it. So I'm not even afraid of the ticket and I'd like to have it. Then I'd have the story. So hopefully I will get a ticket for pissing in public one day.
I always thought it'd be cool like if I could like run through a police riot squad, like when they have all the shields and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And then they shoot you with those like beanbag guns or whatever. I thought, how cool would it be on video for just seeing me running as hard as I could, smash through, and then they drag me away, and I got, like, all these welts from the beanbag guns. Like, that would be terrible, but it would be really cool.
They're not going to kill you, most likely.
And it would be just really cool.
That's a little bit more dangerous than mine, but it is kind of the adult version of Red Rover, I suppose.
Yeah. I should have prefaced it. I want to go run through that line after public urination. I want to be so mad that they're saying something. All right. This comes from roving reporter Jonathan Guymon. Christian prophet loses his buttocks to a hungry lion while trying to prove God would save him. Alec Ndwani thought he was filled with the Holy Spirit when he decided to challenge lions at the Kruger National Park. The Zion Christian Church prophet. Mm-hmm. What a cool name. That'd be cool. Well, hey, what do you do for a living? I'm a Zion Christian
prophet.
Church prophet.
I'm a
you have to say the whole thing. I'm Zion Christian Church prophet.
Hey, you know
it's on your business card. Prophet,
I do a podcast. What do you do? I'm a Zion Christian Church prophet.
Matt, you said business card, but I actually knew a guy that went to a church in my childhood that carried a business card that said evangelist, and he would
prophet
like he would hand it out like he's serious. Like, hey, this is my job title. It's hardcore.
I love prophet on a business card.
I know, it'd be so awesome. Landscaping prophet. The Zion Christian Church prophet was at the park with his fellow church members when, according to the Ghana website. The Ghana web, he went into a trance and began speaking in tongues. That happens at zoos. Joey, I've seen you do that two or three times. The group approached the pride of lions while they munched happily on an antelope. But that's when Ndwane ran toward the lion. Out to Africa lists humans as the major predator to lions. So it's no surprise that the lions took on that challenge. Once he realized what was happening, Ndwane made an about-face and immediately ran away. Unfortunately, Lions are fast and fierce animals, and when one of the lions snapped her paws on him, and Duane sustained injuries to his buttock. The ranger fired his gun in the air to scare the lions off and rushed the prophet to the hospital, where he underwent emergency surgery to ensure he didn't lose most of his buttocks. I do not know what came over me, and Duane confessed. I thought the Lord wanted to use me to show his power over animals. Is it not we were given dominion over all creatures of the earth? He was eventually stitched up and discharged after spending the night in the hospital. And Duane now is a devout atheist, believing that his butt bite proves that there is no God.
Are you serious?
No, I made that last part up.
I was going to say, you got me, man. He's a devout atheist.
That'd be all. I mean, maybe he should be. God did not show up.
He looked at the lion and said, I have dominion over you.
There is no yay gods with this one.
I mean, that is hilarious. Like, seriously, like, I mean, even if they would have took off running, he would have said that was God, but neither one was. You know what I mean? Either way, like, you get attacked by a lion or not, like, it didn't matter. I mean, God doesn't care about that. That's not like you proving God. It's just crazy he would choose that, right?
I mean, as far as I understand it, the only stories that can make it on this show are crazy ones. So I'm assuming before you open your mouth with the news, it's going to be crazy.
Whoa. Wait a minute. Hold on. I don't know if you're just trying to slip that in there. What did you just say? What kind of stories are the only stories on here?
Oh, crazy ones?
Fuck you mean crazy?
I mean, like,
if you want to get crazy, I can get crazy.
People die.
You might need to watch yourself.
Whatever.
Somebody else's ass might get tore up. It's either watch what he's saying. Don't test the Lord right now, sir.
It's either about robot sex.
Do not test the Lord on this.
Or it's about somebody dying and we're trying to be entrapped into laughing about it. Or it's, somebody in Florida trying to lie to the police. Those are the main types of story. I like them. I wouldn't change
Joey, I turned down Matt 10 minutes ago. Sorry, I know you can't hear anything. I couldn't listen to that boring shit anymore. All right. Roving reporter Chris Conley, nurse surrenders license after taking picture of patient's penis.
Wow.
I think this is really good. It's from Nation Now, 13newsnow.com. A New York nurse who took pictures of an unconscious patient's penis turned in her nursing license, according to the New York State Education Department. The state accepted Kristen Johnson's request to surrender her license, according to a March 17th statement. Johnson did not contest the charge of moral unfitness in practice. The Education Department said Johnson was arrested on May of 2015 after an investigation concluded that she took pictures of two patients at Upstate University Hospital in 2014 and sent them to her coworkers, according to Syracuse.com. Johnson initially faced a felony charge, but her sentence was reduced after she agreed to give up her license as a part of the plea deal. She will also serve 3 years probation for taking the unlawful surveillance pictures.
Mm. Now, what was her motive there? She was just like goofing?
That's what I think. She sent them to coworkers. So, I mean, was it a thing where she was just like, oh, look at this cute guy. I'm going to take a picture of a penis and send it to Jill and Sally.
Yeah, you know, so kind of like a 15-year-old boy mistake that she made. It sounds like.
Here's what I thought when I read the story, though. If somebody really wanted to take a picture of my penis, I wouldn't feel that offended. It'd be okay. Like, would you be that? I mean, is that a guy thing? Like, I get it. Like, I think, like, Jess would be super upset if a nurse took a picture of her boob and sent it to his friends. And I would be, right? Because it's a female. But, I mean, penis pic, just sitting there, it's kind of, nobody thinks of the penis that way. Like, it's, like, kind of goofy. It's a goofy, weird thing on a dude's body. And would you feel that offended and want a person to lose her
job? Would you?
Like, I don't think it's a body want her to lose her job if she took a pic of your dick?
I just wouldn't care. I don't think it's a body part thing. I think it's a gender thing.
Right.
I mean, just males and their bodies. Who cares?
That's what I'm saying. You wouldn't really care, would you? Like, if somebody took a picture,
don't put this on the penis. Put this on the male. This isn't the penis's fault.
No, but I'm just saying, it's just funny to me. Like, she lost her job and all that stuff. But I guess I'm not that outraged or upset. But if it would have been reversed, I think the guy wouldn't have gotten off that easy. I think he would have gone to serious jail. Like, she got probation and had to quit her job. And, you know, I mean, but now she was a pastor. She'd have been back at work this week.
She'd have had that felony dropped, and then she would have got put under restoration.
She would have
gotten
a sabbatical first.
Oh, no. They would have given her some paid sabbatical. She would need rest. Obviously, taking pictures, you just need a break and rest, and she needs time to think about it. You got to respect her privacy.
You
got to
do a restoration plan. Same with college coach. You know, if they get fired for having a losing record, then they just get suspended and put under a restoration plan to be the coach again later.
All right, that's the damn news. That's good. Taking old penis pics. I just don't think guys would really care. Like if a girl really wanted to take it, Matt. If tonight you wake up and Bridget is taking a picture of your penis,
wide
it's like heaven. Way. You're like, oh hell yeah! It's the world. It means the world to mm-hmm. you, right? Yep. You would love to get that much attention down there.
Mm-hmm. Down there.
I'm serious. Like if you really want to love your husband. Let him catch you taking a picture of his wing. Oh, my God. He'll clean up the house. He'll mow the lawn. Guys would love that. Guys would love. Man, I went to, babe, I know this. I had nothing to do with this. I was out. You know that. When I was having surgery, that nurse took a picture of my wiener. I don't know. I mean, men, that's like a badge of honor.
If you want to make a man feel good, let him like set it up so that he discovers that you've been taking pictures of his dog.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like hide a few pictures of his wiener in your special box somewhere and let him stumble upon them. Yeah. Babe, what are these? I love you, babe. That's all you got to say. I love you, sweetie. I just, you know, a man would feel it swell with pride. He'd be so, you had the best 2 or 3 weeks of a husband ever. It'll die down after that, but your husband will treat you good. I'm just saying, you can learn a lot on this podcast. So, Joey, we got anything to end with?
We sure don't, man. I just want to thank you for bringing the news. You feed many. No, you
what are you laughing at?
You feed a lot of hungry people through this news.
How's your sabbatical going? I mean, are you just like, you are like, you're chill. Like, honestly, I mean.
Am I supposed to pretend that Matt, this is like far removed from earlier episodes or?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Man, this sabbatical's going great.
I know it sounds crazy. The hair on Joey's head's growing now.
Yeah,
like
way better.
He's lost more weight. He's eating more mm-hmm. sugar. He looks great. He's
I'm
doing
not eating
great.
More sugar. That's not right.
You can eat anything you want now that the pressure's off. Yep. You're chill as a pill. I'm serious. You look great.
Oh, thanks, man. You want to see
For
my
sure.
penis? Do you want to see
do.
Mine? Do you want to take a picture of my penis? Hey, if you join the BC Club, we're going to send you a picture of my penis. My dad
Welcome
saw
back it.
Shit. Why not y'all too? And your dad's. Hey, let's start a movement. Show your dad your penis. If you're a dude and you still have your penis, show that thing to your dad. If he's not alive, next closest of kin, male, show him your penis.
Yeah. April is show your dad your junk month.
We're toast. Show your dad your junk month.
You've been listening to the Jabberjaw Podcast Network, jabberjawmedia.com.